station. Waiting for that train.
Jimi Hendrix there. Hit it, Obama.
I'm announcing my administration's efforts to transform travel in America with an historic investment in high-speed rail.
It all sounded like music, all playing in the same band. President Obama, about a year ago down in Florida, suggesting that high-speed rail was an investment that could actually change America, bring jobs, and transform the way we get from one place to another. Here to talk about what's happened in the year since is Colin Campbell. He's Takeaway Transportation Reporter, part of the Public Radio Transportation Nation Project. Good morning, Colin.
Good morning.
So, you know, it seems to me that this is a test of if we can do high-speed rail in America, biggest economy in the world, right, with money to spend on this, $8 billion, I guess, was announced a year ago, then we can solve a lot of serious problems in America. But what is the verdict so far?
Well, you'll remember the announcements of the two sort of top shelf routes was made just after the State of the Union address. Obama had political problems pushing health care reform and all the rest. And he announced two things. California would get San Francisco to Los Angeles. Florida would get Orlando to Tampa. These would be quickly developed, put people to work early.
Totally reasonable routes.
Totally reasonable routes. The Florida route especially was designed to be something they could build quickly, show this off. Since then, there have been a couple things breaking down the dream. I think the first one is the planning process in California especially. We're starting to learn about some of the places where the routes were going to go, where the stops are going to go. This is yielding some ugliness, especially in the Bay Area between San Francisco and San Jose. The cheapest, probably best option for some part of that route will be sending the train above the ground on a viaduct.
Which puts you up against all sorts of local political authorities. People forget that in the United States, the track was laid over unpopulated frontier land back in the 1800s. It's very, very different this time around.
Yeah, and in a couple of these places, L.A. as well, they're starting to talk about sharing track. Everyone who's ridden Amtrak and waited for cargo delays, other passenger rails come through. This is not high-speed rail if we have to share track and sit behind other trains. Other parts of the planning process that are coming hiccups, they've done a traffic study in Florida that looks like it might reduce traffic, that Orlando to Tampa route, by as little as 2%. That's not the kind of thing that will send people running for trains. And then we've got the economy. The economic pressures in California and Florida have not let up. This train has gone from becoming kind of a white knight to one of the horsemen of the economic apocalypse in both these states where unemployment's really high. They're going to have to borrow a lot on bonds. And yesterday, there's an assemblywoman in California who went to a hearing and suggested canceling $10 billion worth of borrowing, the kind of cornerstone of the California debt. Here's Assemblywoman Diane Harkey.
Facing cuts to education, public safety, underfunded pensions, borrowing and deferring payments to local governments, building another train in California would not seem to be one of our highest priorities.
Now, Colin, here's a woman who likes high-speed rail, but something about the problems, the fiscal crisis in California, is forcing her to be short-sighted here.
California's bond rating, I think, is triple B. Every dollar they borrow, it's going to cost them $1.60 to pay back. And as they're looking for things to cut, they're looking at high-speed rail.
Now, is Florida's example another situation where the complexity of the problem forces politicians basically to think really just around the next corner?
You know, Florida, I think, is a little harder. It's run into some of the classic mistakes of transportation planning in the last couple months. They've realized that one of the trains, the commuter rails that comes into Orlando, wouldn't connect with the high-speed rail plan very well. So they've suggested putting in a bus that would connect the two routes. These are classic mistakes in transportation that we see every time you have to change trains, change modes of transportation, buy a new ticket, pay a new fare. These are obstacles that cause people to say, you know what, I'd rather drive.
And ridership goes way, way down when these sorts of things happen.
Exactly.
Is there something about the federal government being involved in this whole process that rubs these localities and states the wrong way?
It's a great question. Diane Markey is a Republican congresswoman, in Florida.
She was in California.
Yeah,
right.
She's in California. She's friendly with the Tea Party, and so are some of the opponents in Florida. Those people are worried about all the spending. The other interesting model here is the Eisenhower Interstate System. That system began with matching funds. It was meant to be shared between states and the federal government. By the time we finished that, there was an analysis I was reading last night in 1991. The federal government has paid for 90% of the interstates. In some rural areas, it's 95%. So some of these states are looking at these small federal grants and saying, you know what, guys, we need more than a quarter of the funding. We need more than half the funding. We need you guys to build a new rail network for us.
You know, it makes you yearn for a Chinese dictatorship, essentially. I mean, they're putting up $30 billion to create high-speed networks from Shanghai to Beijing and all the major cities in China, and there are a lot of them. But the federal government just isn't a dictatorship, and we're not going to get one anytime soon. We missed our chance, I guess, during a George W. Bush. Okay, I'll get some emails for that.
Are you saying you want a Chinese dictatorship?
So let's talk about the situation in Florida. Are they liking the feds here?
You know, I think the Florida proposal likes the feds a lot. As soon as they got the money, they got half of what they asked for. So I called them and I said, hey, guys, this is exciting. You got one of the biggest grants. When do the shovels go in the ground? When can we see the trains going? And they said, you know what? We're going right back to Washington and looking for more money. So Florida, I think, is really happy to have the feds involved. One of the problems is that route was chosen because it's short. It can be finished quickly. But the money route there is Orlando to Miami. That's the kind of route that will kill the airlines and show off the power of high-speed rail. In Europe and Japan, those longer routes have been the more profitable routes that have earned the money back more quickly.
So you talked with Representative John Mica, right? And he you know, sort of described the situation with the dealing with the federal government and how frustrating it's been.
Yeah, Mike is an interesting guy. His district backs up onto Orlando. A lot of his constituents would get jobs out of this. They would ride the train a lot. If the Republicans take over Congress in the fall, he'd run the Transportation Committee. He's a guy who knows a lot about rail. And I asked him, aren't you excited to have this in your district? Here's what he said.
Sometimes the federal government or government could mess up a two-car funeral. And I think my job and responsibility is representing the people that are paying for this. And I intend to be very hard-nosed about this project.
If we can't get high-speed rail done in the United States at this moment, what other problems can't we solve?
It's tough to say. I mean, the good news this week, I think, for high-speed rail, believe it or not, is the volcano. It's a reminder that if the airlines take a bruising in any kind of event, that we may need another way to get around our country, another way to get goods and services and mail around our country. You know, maybe that's a little bit of a lining here, a silver lining.
Colin Campbell from Public Radio's Transportation Nation. You can check out more of the transportation team's nationwide coverage at transportationnation.org. Coming up, work life, unpaid internships, and disrupting the salaried workplace.